You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Good morning and welcome to it. It is 9:05. My name is Dan in for Ken, and Walter Assey is across the table from me from Renovco. Hi there, Walter.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
It's great to see you.
Oh, it's great. It's good to be seen.
Absolutely.
I don't get out of the house a lot.
You don't, do you?
but I have to come out to do this. You and I were just talking off the air. It's going to be 23 in November, the warmest November on record.
I think I closed my pool too early.
Yeah,
we should push it off a little bit.
Well, that's what happens. Sometimes the city closes the city's pools, and then September turns out to be boiling hot.
That's true.
And there's nowhere to go.
Now it's November that's boiling hot.
Yeah.
How lucky are we?
Let's call it. Well, I think we're lucky, unless it's, you know, my son who's 20. He's a little freaked out. He said, I don't know if I like that it's this warm in November. Is the world coming to an end?
Yeah, global warming.
But we do have to admit that despite how nice it is, the summer has come to an end. And everyone's either raking or blowing leaves there, you know. So I guess this is as good a time as any to get up there and make sure your gutters are cleaned.
I mean, it's a lot of things. Wrapping up all your exterior works, mm-hmm. Even in the inside of the house, there are things that you want to, you know, maybe look at, your sump pump, your plumbing, your valve, shut off the water outside, your irrigation system. If you have any exterior lights, you want to, shut off, landscape lights, anything that might get damaged. It's not just the obvious thing. Sometimes it's the less obvious thing that we want to look at as well.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, and I could tell by the amount of requests that we get that, for example, now we get a lot of requests for insulation of attics.
Really?
All of a sudden people, go up to their attic and say, I remember last year I had a problem here or problem there. So they go to check in the attic and they realize they don't have enough insulation. You know, the code in the 70s, in the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s, it keeps on changing. So whenever they build homes way back then, you're lucky if you get R22 in your attic as insulation, right? Today's code is R50.
Which so that refers to the thickness?
The thickness and the amount of insulation, the R value of the insulation. So most of these older homes, if you have not updated your insulation, especially with our weather and the global warming and everything that's happening, we're just talking about 23rd of November, 23 in November, I'm saying, that's going to wreak havoc into your attic, and you're going to have issues with your roof and ice damming and so on and so forth, especially if you don't have enough insulation. So it is a good time to look at these things. And yeah, I know you don't see it and it's not as obvious. And if you can't do it yourself, just hire someone to do it, just to take a video in there or a camera or a few photos. And you can send them off to an insulation expert, and they could tell you right off the bat if you need more bats, no pun intended. And then from that point onwards, you could plan it out before the cold happens. Now is a great time to do it.
Okay, makes a lot of
sense.
And
you will see, the thing is, you will see immediately the results. Whatever you had ice damming and issues and what have you, right off the bat, you're going to start seeing all the issues disappear one after the other as soon as you start taking care of that roofing system, which most of us only look at roof as shingles, but it's not really shingles. It's a lot of other things that we have to look at the same time.
Actually, we have a question about shingles that was texted in. We'll get to it in a moment, but we should get right to the calls. All set?
Absolutely.
All right, we'll start on the South Shore. There's Lino. Good morning. Hi there.
Taking my call.
Pleasure.
I'm calling because I'd like to have your opinion on the problem I'm having, the repairs and the possible legal action if it comes to that.
Mm-hmm. Of?
Pardon?
Repairs of?
Windows. Mm-hmm. I purchased 10 windows and 6 doors from a well-known window manufacturer here on the South Shore. They were installed by a well-known contract here on the South Shore.
Okay, go on.
1 week after the installation, the windows, 8 of them which are double hung, triple pane, guillotine windows, the wheel inside snapped. So the window fell down full force. I mean, it's a 50-pound window, and it comes down with significant force.
Anyone get hurt?
No, it happened to me. Happened to me. So it just fell in my hands, and it just nothing happened to the frame or the window.
Okay, that's
but
good.
If it's a child, it could be dangerous.
Absolutely. So what's your question to us?
So the repair, they sent a repair technician who hacked away at the corner of the track to remove the mechanism and replace it with a new wheel, the spring wheel. Okay?
Yep.
So before he came, this happened to a second window. And now it's happened to a third window and a fourth wind.
Mm-hmm.
So what have you heard of this problem before?
I have. I have. And okay. The secret of to all of this is what you said at the beginning of your question. It is a triple pane window, so you have a triple glazed window, which makes it a lot heavier than a double guillotine, right? A double glazed window. So it is an issue with certain manufacturers that they update the R value and the triple glaze, but they keep the same hardware. Okay, a good manufacturer usually upgrade their hardware, and you could see that. Like if you're ever in the area and you're our showroom, I will show you how they do reinforced rebars on anything that is holding a window together. Specifically in heavier windows. And when we say heavier windows, meaning the better quality ones and the triple glazed ones as well. Technically what should happen, they should upgrade all your hardware. So all these wheels have to be of a better quality so you don't have that problem. Because you will have the problem with the other ones for sure, okay? Triple glaze in the lower manufacturing grades, meaning the if you want the lesser quality manufacturers of windows, usually is a rare thing because it's a much more expensive, so not every person is going to come and ask for triple glaze. So it's very common, and we see it more in the commercial end, okay? Well-known manufacturers does not mean it's a higher-end window.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. And matter of fact, most often than not, it's really not, not to our standards, if you wish. Send them a letter, document everything, and ask them to change you all the hardware at the same time, and threaten them with legal action and civil liability, because if someone has their hands under that window and it actually snaps, and you could actually hurt yourself. If you have a kid sticking his head out of that window, he could be seriously hurt. So that's not a matter of just, a window that is defective. That could lead to an bodily injury, and that's what you have to mention in your letter.
So do you recommend changing the hardware on all the windows or ask him to replace the window?
Your problem is not with the window itself. It's not fogging up. You're not having any freezing, any frost or anything like that. Unless you see any of that, then that means you have a defective window altogether. It is the hardware, from what I understand from you. And that's common, and we see it in the lower grade windows, that yes, they upgrade your pane, but they forget to, they have the standard thing that they stick in there, and it's like, one-third extra weight on that window, mm-hmm. yet they just keep the same equipment on it. Believe it or not, hardware is more important than the actual window sometimes, okay?
Okay?
That's what holds your window together. That was keep it hermetic. And, that's where a lot of manufacturers get it wrong. They put a lot of emphasis on the pane, but the pane is worthless if your frame and your hardware is not well put together.
So if there's a standard hardware was installed, what do you recommend they upgrade to?
Well, I mean, it's really per weight, right? So whatever they have, it's something that they have to calculate per weight. You can't necessarily come and tell them put me this or put me that, because each manufacturer deals with different wholesalers. Mm. So what they have to get you is a type of wheel that takes a heavier gauge, heavier weight as what you have right now.
And hopefully they would know otherwise.
100% they know. Yeah. And I'm sure he's not the only guy that had this problem. Yeah. So,
Lino, I'm glad you called. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Cheers. It's the Home Improvement Show with me, Dan Laxer, and that there is Walter Assey of Renovco. 514-790-0800, Star Talk on Bell Mobility, and you can text in to 514-800. We do have a text about a shed. And we'll talk about that in a couple of moments. Right now, with a look at traffic, your first look of the day.
You might just need to tighten a thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
That's how I talk. I got to tighten a thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. The Home Improvement Show with me, Dan, and Walter Assey of Renovco. And you can text your questions in. Just leave a name so I don't have to call you Edna. So Edna, not his real name, texted in, Walter. I just won, this is interesting, I won a raffle. I won a wooden shed, 10 by 12, not finished on the inside and outside. It has a nice door and has shingles on the top of the roof. I would like to know the steps of putting tiles out. So he wants to really rebuild this thing. He says, obviously I'm not a carpenter, going to get someone to do the job. I would like to know where to start. So he wants to do everything, tiles, outlets, lights, a small window, drywall. That's a heck of a question.
Yeah. I mean, typically if it's a shed and it's not heated, you don't want to drywall it. You could just keep it on the 2x4s. So that, you know, he could just eliminate that step altogether. Unless he's going to have it heated and insulated, that's another story. But that's a whole different ballgame altogether. Now, the outside, he means tiling. When he means tiling on the outside, I think he means those cedar shingles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in this case, what he wants to do is he wants to fair up the outside, to do the fairing. But then you have to double fair. The fairing is a 1x3 strips.
Okay. Yep.
So if you are doing the cedar shingles on it, what you're going to do the horizontal and then you're going to do vertical fairings. But you're going to do a lot of fairings. You need to be about 2 inches apart so you can have some bone where you can nail or staple the shingle. Okay?
Ah, all right.
That's right. Now, if you're a newbie in this, the shingle cedars is tricky because you have to know what you're doing. So you might want to go with just siding. The horizontal siding, it's easier to install.
Okay.
And it's faster. Okay? And if you're going to go that route, you want to buy the corners and you want to install the corners first, and then you butt in your cedar, your horizontal siding to it. With horizontal siding, you only need one set of fairing strips.
Okay.
So that's as far as the outside. Make sure that your plywood have some type of Tyvek on it or some type of protection. So if there's any water that's going to come in between the cedar, between the siding and the actual envelope, the exterior envelope, it doesn't get damaged. There's also a starter strip at the bottom, so it's like a flashing for the water to drip out.
Mm-hmm.
So that you would have to also buy at the same time. As far as windows, I mean, it's very simple. You want to take the measurement of your window, and you want to, good luck finding that exact measurement. They're not as standard. So if the opening is done, you have to abide by the opening. If it's not done, I would recommend very strongly that you go to a hardware store, and they have those standard windows that they are on the shelf. You buy one off the shelf, they're way cheaper. Okay. Then you're going to custom order one. It's going to take you months and months to get it. And then you're just saying
that's if he makes his own window.
Yeah, if the opening is not done. So okay. I don't know to what stage they delivered for him the unfinished shed.
Mm-hmm.
So most often than not, the openings are done. The door is the same thing. If you have an opening for the door, what you want to do is you want to see if you can get a standard door from the hardware store. You take the measurement. Because again, every time you're going to be able to pick something that is mass produced, you're saving lots of money.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the idea, especially as a shed. So you're not going to do anything high end. You don't need necessarily the you know, the best quality window or the best quality door. Yeah, I mean, from the inside, there's very seldom that we do any finishing because, you know, we use it to the max, meaning you have the roof trusses on top and you could use these guys as additional storage. So anything that is long, you just hang it in there. So that's why you don't want to, you know, kind of finish the ceiling. And then the sides, you could, you know, still screw things to 2x4s to hang stuff. So you don't really need to, because if you're going to do drywall and it's not a heated thing, it's going to probably mold and create your all kind of problems that you don't really need. The flooring itself can just be plywood as well. You don't need to finish it. But if you were to finish it, go with something that is waterproof. Right, so you know, when I go with a vinyl strip or something like that, because obviously it's a shed, so you're gonna come in and out from it. Things are wet, you're gonna put them there. So you know, but if you don't need to put anything, then plywood is enough, and you can, you know, even paint it with just an epoxy paint or something, just to, if you want to have some type of finish on top. So you don't necessarily need to have a revêtement or any type of a finishing on the floor itself.
Is there a point to heating a shed?
I don't see the point, honestly, unless you're going to put things in it that will require you to heat it.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, if you're going to put electronics or things that might get damaged due to freezing weather, then by all means. Mm-hmm. But if not, you're just wasting your money.
Yeah.
Although I've seen people during COVID that converted their shed out of all places, believe it or not, to a home office.
Yeah, I believe it. That makes sense.
Yeah. And, you know, it's one particular person that have six kids and, you know, the house can only be so big, and I can totally understand. And, you know, they totally convert the shed into a working office.
Yeah.
They insulated it. They really made it. And it actually looks nice. It was bigger shed. It was 10x12. And that does the purpose. And, you know, he uses it not just to work now. Apparently he uses it for his peace and quiet and, you know.
Yeah. Then you'd have to decide once it's nice, do I use this for an office or do I put my kids in it?
Yeah, that's another thing.
Just got another text from Joe. It says he lives in an apartment with very squeaky hardwood floors. Are there quick, simple tricks to prevent the floor from squeaking? I've heard possibly baby powder or powder graphite.
That's a very good question. Quick, I would not really... I've never used baby powder before, so I can't really tell you if it works or not.
Mm-hmm.
It is an issue. It's usually an issue. Most of the time, it's the plywood underneath or the wood blanks underneath that were not screwed well.
Okay.
And especially in older times, they used to use nails and not screws, so that, you know, eventually that nail will start popping out, and then you have that crick, 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 crick because of the nails protruding out. So there's no real quick magic fix to it, unfortunately, that I know about. I mean, you could try the baby powder. It's not nothing to lose, and it's not expensive to buy, but I've never heard of it before. I'd be very curious if it actually works, if you can text us back.
Be doing with the baby powder?
No idea. I have no idea. I can't even, you know, I can't even begin to understand why it would help. Okay. Because what's happening is that you're actually walking and you are creating movement on the floor itself and the plywood and everything that is underneath. So you keep on having that spring action that makes that squeaking noise. So beside, you know, lubricating the rusty nail, or I don't see what it can do to make it better. Mm-hmm. So I can't really, I don't know where he heard of that, but I would be very curious to know what he did and how he did it. And if maybe he should patent.
Yeah. The baby powder.
The baby powder.
It makes me think of the old Sam the Record Man on St. Catherine Street. And we would always talk about the singing floors, because you would go to the second floor in Sam's, and it was such an old place that everywhere you walk would squeak. But people enjoyed that.
I'm not that old.
Neither am I. Why, you Wyota. It's the Home Improvement Show. I'm Dan Laxer. That there is Walter Assey of Renovco. We're taking your calls, 514-790-0800, and your texts to 514-800. More coming up after the 9:30 news.
Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
Our texter texted back, suggested, but putting the powder, it seeps into the cracks and acts as a lubricant. He heard it by reading it online.
It could help only in the cases where the issue is the actual flooring itself.
Yeah.
If the actual hardwood floor itself is the bouncy part because the nails are protruding out, in cases where in the old times they would nail it down,
yeah,
then that would might help just in the friction, but then you would have to do it every so often because it will repeat itself, right? So the lubrication becomes an issue. If you think about the logic behind it, it might work. I could try it, but I have not personally tried myself. Now, more often than not, if the plywood is the, if the subfloor itself is the issue, then I don't see it doing anything.
Yeah, that's it. All right, let's go right back to the phones. We're going to head out to Kirkland now. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning.
How can we help you?
I just have a quick question. I have a concrete slab balcony, and it's on a concrete pylon. It's about 4 feet off the ground, and I have part of it covered with a real finished, like, extension of my roof. Can I make that into a four-season extension, or if I enclose it all around? Or because there's no foundation underneath, it'll never really be that warm, or I would be just, like, heating galore.
You can. And the good news is that you already have the slab. You already have the roofing system. But the part that you're right about is the floor. The floor is going to be an issue. It's going to be a cold floor. So if you are going to do any finishing, I would strongly suggest a heated floor. Now, what you could also do, if you wish, is you could enclose by skirting the bottom, so you don't have as much of the wind and the and the cold coming under.
It is skirted right now with aluminum, like old aluminum siding, which we did want to replace to match our PVC siding.
Yeah, that's fine, and that will stop the wind.
Okay.
But what you could do is you could go a bit more elaborate. So you could have something that could have potentially some insulation in it as well. That will help. There's urethane that you could shoot down there as well on the ceiling of the balcony that will help as well, making it warmer. And by putting
covering the underside of the concrete.
That's right. But the idea behind it is the most important is that whatever skirting you do around it have to also be insulated. If not, it doesn't work as well. Okay?
Okay.
So that's one way. But ensure that your top is also have a heated flooring system.
Okay.
Or else you're going to be constantly fighting with the cold floor in that room.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
You're very welcome. Thanks for the call.
Yeah. Now, structurally speaking, just one thing, Julia, that I want to mention. Because you already have the roofing system on top, okay, that's a good news for you in the sense of can the structure take it, because most of the weight is from the roof, right? So what you're adding as weight is the walls and whatever windows you're going to put. So I don't forecast any issues with that, but a quick look under to see how many sonotubes we have underneath will tell us if it can take the extra weight. I don't think there's a problem because already, like I said, you have the bigger components done. So that potentially is going to be an easy fix, or nothing is required to be done at all at this point.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Have a good weekend. 514-790-0800, Star Talk on Bell Mobility, and you can text your questions in to 514-800. And before we had a question about squeaky floors, this texter asks, what could be a solution for very squeaky stairs?
Again, it's when you go with squeaking, I mean, if something is old and you just want to fix it, you could nail it back in place. But, it's not going to be pretty and you have to finish it and what have you. So if, you want to re-nail it back in place and not care about how it looks like because it's more important to you, the thing. But there's no magic bullet with these things. I mean, There will be a point where you would have to retire whatever steps are squeaking and redo them from scratch. That's the easier way, honestly.
Yeah.
Because when you fiddle with it, you will realize that a lot to do, and it cosmetically change the look. If you want a quick fix, I'll tell you to nail it back down in place. But if you want proper fixes, take it out, make sure that the new step is level, nail it, and glue it in place.
With wooden steps, I mean, they're basically empty underneath, right? So,
I mean, you have the stringer, right? They're sitting pretty much on the structure of the stairs on either end, and yes, there is a void in the middle, but they're thick enough that they carry the load, so it's not, you know, they can't like wave or bounce or anything like that because of that void underneath.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you know, typically steps are thicker than.
Yeah.
You know, then floors and what have you, they have a certain thickness to them in order for them to carry the weight and that void being filled up structurally adequately. So that's not really the issue.
Yeah.
A lot of times I've seen stairs being installed without being glued in place. And I find that the glue is a very, even when I do plywood, I usually like to PL the plywood and screw it in place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that, you know, sometimes there's over. It's an oversight from contractor, or because it takes them longer. I don't know why, but it's not done. And I find this, for me, is the most important step in any installation of a subfloor.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Of course, if your floors and stairs squeak, it's a good way to tell you if there's someone in your house.
Correct. Correct. Or if your children are coming in late and what time they came in.
Exactly. out to Dollard now. Hi, Luana.
Yes, hi, good morning. I'm calling because I'd like to add some more insulation to my attic.
Yeah, something we were talking about just before. Go on.
Oh, okay. And yeah. The thing is that I'm trying to get estimates coming in, and I have some insulation there, and they're telling me it's like an R20,
mm-hmm.
and they're saying I should get approximately like R50.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is here, is they're saying that because I have such a low roof, that they're going to the suggestion is to insert these things along the side there to continue the airflow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what they're called.
Steer vents, yes, or baffles.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. And so my question to you, is that the solution? And what type of insulation should I be looking for?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Good questions.
So because you're adding, I mean, the good news for you is that you don't have much choice, meaning it's not, I'm not going to confuse you with six different choices. Because you're adding insulation, and at the beginning of the show, funny enough, we were talking about most roofs being R20, the older roof that is,
mm-hmm.
or R22, and today's code is R50. So it's exactly something that you would need to upgrade, and that's what most people need to upgrade to. Especially now, because again, your roofs are being tested with global warming, all the saw, all the, you know, the mild weather we're having in the winter that didn't happen before, that tend to take our roofing system to other extremes. And that's mm-hmm. partially why the building code keeps on being adjusted and tweaked and changed, because we have to also look at the weather patterns. We have to look at how we build the homes in today's culture, and, you know, how we insulate and so on and so forth, environment and, you know, and everything else. And the other thing with code is because we learn from our previous mistakes.
Yeah.
All right. So everything that fails, we had to study, analyze, and say, okay, well, that wasn't good. We should change and do that. Mansard roofing is a perfect example, right? As far as you're concerned, the only thing that you could really do is blown-in fiberglass insulation. It's the cheapest.
Blown-in?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the cheapest and most and the fastest, and it works, right? Everything that we choose have pros and cons, obviously, so we have advantage to any product. But that will be the product that you would need that is the most economical in your case, okay? Now.
Go
ahead.
There's some one company saying it's not. They didn't mention fiberglass. They mentioned cellular something.
Cellulose. Like that. That's fine. Yes. Yeah, cellulose. Yes. That's another way of saying blown-in insulation. Cellulose insulation. That's fine.
Right. And another company told. Okay, go on.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No. Then one other company, they refused to come, because they said that my roof is so low bearing that they would suggest that I wait until I replace the roof, and they would have to cut, you know, plywood all along the side and do something. So, like, okay. I'm getting a couple of things here.
Well hold on a second. Mm-hmm. A lot of these things you can kind of clean out yourself, meaning to clean out the real story. It's very common that specialized contractors put their blinders on when they come and do a job for you. I'm going to explain you that in very simple terms. If their job is insulation, they only look at that.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a problem. And that is a problem because, you know, that you'd be throwing money at something that not necessarily going to work, or in certain cases might make the problem worse. Okay?
Okay.
So when you stick your head in the attic, the most important thing that you want to see is daylight.
Okay? Right.
All around. Mm-hmm. Continuous daylight, right? Mm-hmm. So in all directions.
Okay.
If you don't, and that's something you could literally see yourself, like just get a ladder if you're, you know, or someone that is handy that, you know, if you don't want to go up there.
I've done that.
Yeah. Mm. So, and the reason we want to do that is to make sure that we don't have any blocked soffits.
Mm.
Yes. Because
if you have blocked soffits, no matter what you're going to do in there, it's not going to really work until your soffits are addressed. So we need to have adequate ventilation in your roof, and that's important. That would be the first thing that you want to do, is unblock the soffits and make sure it's a continuous trench at least 2 inches in diameter, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen, the reason I'm saying that is because I've seen people just poke holes around the soffits every, I don't know, foot or so. That doesn't work.
I'm sure there's way more to this question. But we got to take a break for traffic. So Luana, don't go away, and Walter, we'll get right back to this in a couple of moments because we're a little bit over time. It's 9:47. There is Jill Fitzgerald. Good morning, Jill.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
When last you joined us, we were talking with Luann about re-insulation of her attic. We'll finish up with what Walter was saying, Luann, and then we'll move on.
So, Luann, the main issue with that we see often is when you have a contractor with their blinders on and they only look at their specialty and nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
Only this week I've seen a case, maybe it's a bit more on the extreme side, by which a homeowner hired a company to do a new French drain. And by fluke, we're doing an extension there. So as we dug up the area in the back, we noticed that the foundation is like rotting away and the footing, there's no footing. Mm-hmm. Literally, the footing have eroded. So that's structurally extremely, extremely dangerous for the house.
Okay.
I don't even know how the house was still standing up. So the idea is, I mean, the first question is, like, how come that guy that was working down there doing a French drain and membraning and what have you did not see this or did not alert the client? Because it's not, you know, this is a structural issue that could be, you know, and the answer that comes to, you know, not everybody, you know, have that conscience. It's not, you know, in their head, it's not my job. My job is to do this.
I
don't
want to
break
drains.
My head. I'll do drains. I'll just do it. I saw it, but I'm going to look the other way. Wrong mentality and wrong ways. That's why your eyes are more important, right? If you're going to hire this guy and he's going to insulate your attic, he did his job. He fulfilled his contract. So legally, there's nothing you could do towards him, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's
yeah.
why a lot of the things, the other things that are around this, unfortunately, in certain cases, you're going to have to look at it yourself. In other cases, you're going to have a more conscientious contractor. It's going to look at everything and give you the whole spiel. So in your case, what you want to look at is many, many things, okay? Number one, you look at the condition of your roof on top, the shingles. Are they curling? Are they dried up? Is there a reason, you know, that might make you want to change them in the next year or two? If there is, then we might want to plan out a bit things a bit differently. Meaning, you said yourself that you have a tight attic, okay, or a low attic.
Mm-hmm.
The best time to correct that issue is when you change your shingles. Why? Because I can take out the shingles, I'll take out the plywood, I'll shim my plywood, I'll hire it up, and then give you 2 or 3 or 4 inches more space in your on your roof. So now I can put more insulation and I can give you a better airflow into the attic. So now it's a working system. Second thing I want to look at is, do I have enough ventilation on top in the attic itself? I mean, on the roof itself. How many maximums? Are they adequate? Are they strong enough? Is the positioning of the ventilation right? That's, you know, a discussion to be had with the roofer. Now we look at the attic itself. In the attic, you want to have an R50. That's the code. R50 is the best target, but sometimes those insulation guys are right in the sense that your attic cannot accommodate R50 because it's a small attic, mm-hmm. It's a tight attic, and they don't want to choke it up and block your soffits. So they install the baffles and whatever, or the studio vents and whatever insulation they can inject in there, they will, until... you know, they can't anymore. So that they might bring you up from R20 to R40, but it's better than R20.
Yeah.
So we're not saying that you can always achieve your R50. R50 is your optimum. But if you can't, because, you know, if you want to push the envelope on that and you have a very tight attic, you're going to block your soffits and you're going to create bigger problems than not having enough insulation. Right?
So that third guy was more on the ball than the other two.
Maybe if he checked, okay? He didn't just, you know, guessed it or what have you. So you want to make sure that, again, if you see the daylight, the other thing that you want to see, the temperature in your attic, that's another, like, telltale sign, is temperature in your attic should be very similar to the outside, a bit warmer, obviously, but... you know, if it's cold in outside, it have to be cold in your attic. If it's cold outside and you go in the attic and it's boiling hot, it's not really good.
Okay.
That means your soffits are blocked. So your wood needs to breathe, your attic needs to breathe, and that's what you're looking for as well.
Okay, so that's a sign I can look for. If my attic inside is cold and it's cold outside, there's a sign that the soffits, there is ventilation there.
Yeah.
They're not blocked.
The best sign is daylight, okay, in all directions, not just like if you see it, I see it in the front, I don't see it in the back. It needs to be, you know, you need to have adequate windows. Wherever you have soffits, you need to have daylights. That's pretty much just to make it simple for you.
All right, Luann, I think we've helped.
Okay. Thanks. Yes, thank you very much. You did.
Thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it. I don't think we're going to have time to get to Rick and there are two different Jacks. It's the same Jack. I don't think we'll have time to get to their calls, or their text, rather. So by all means, join us next week. We'll be back together as always. Walter Assey of Renovco, thank you so very much.
Always a pleasure.
Likewise. Thank you, Jimmy G at Master Control. Stay tuned for the Car Show with Lisa Christensen coming after the 10 o'clock news. I will be back here tomorrow in for Ken, bright and early from 6 right through till noon. Sarah Day will join me on the Trivia Show. Have a fantastic day. Get out there and enjoy the weather, and I'll see you tomorrow.